Hey guys, what's going on? Pushing this podcast out for you. I hope you enjoy this one. This one features my buddy Lowlines. Lowlines is a developer of many different things. He creates some really cool web tools using game APIs from games such as Destiny and Battleborn. So if you play those games, definitely check out his stuff. Check out his stuff anyway, because it's amazing. But he has a website called lowlydev.com where you can use his tools that he's created to, for Destiny, for example. You can sort of follow along with the things that you're collecting and, marking off the list and all that kind of thing. We talked about what he has going on now, what he's up to in the near future, doing some cool things. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Joe King. And while you're at it, follow him as well. He's a good guy at Lowlines, and check out lowlydev.com. Enjoy. There we go. Let's see how this works. Yeah, I think your bungee is really cool. Cosmo showed me around there a couple years ago, and it was pretty neat. I was majorly fanboying out in there. It was pretty gross.
Yeah, I mean, I visited Gearbox yesterday, so
yeah, kind of the same effect.
Well, I don't know, it's sort of, you always wonder what you'd be like when you see someone where you'd expect a lot sort of fan out, but,
yeah.
Like, for me, I'm just sort of like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm already a dev, that it's just sort of like just more of the same, I suppose. Like, it's still really cool, but
it's almost, instead of being like a fanboy moment of, oh my god, it's more like, what are you doing that I'm not doing that maybe I could learn from you from, right? That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah, I mean, from my previous job, I was always working with different skill sets. And we'd have all sorts of stuff in the office at any given time. Like, for a couple of months, we actually had a 3D printer
that
none of us messed around with because we're too busy.
I'd be too scared to break it, because that's what I would do. I'd break it.
No, They brought that in because they had a few projects where they were 3D printing out pieces for a thing. So it's like a couple of years ago I was at PAX AUS and Rodden Gilbert was actually showing off Thimbleweed Park.
Oh, cool.
And he's not really big on the whole PAX floor stuff, so what he did instead is he did like a little casual Facebook event where it's like, I'm going to be at this bar just like outside.
It's kind of a meetup,
and then he set it up and, I went there. There was a couple of other folks. There was one guy there, he was super, super fanning out. Like he like, quoting lines, he pulled out the actual game running on an Android device, and did a full playthrough.
Oh, man.
And me, I'm just like, I'm cool just to like sit here
just hang out,
just watch him watch people play his game.
Yeah, 100%.
And I mean, like the only sort of question I could think of when I talked to him was like, how does it feel like watching people play something you've probably been going over so many times, he was pretty cool.
It's the same for me. I had a chance to meet this musician that I'm a huge fan of several years ago, and that was back when I was still playing music, and I met him, and of course, you think, oh, if I ever meet this person or, one of these people, I have so many questions, and my mind completely went blank, it was crazy, so I know exactly what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the folks at Gearbox, they've basically been my long distance friends for several years now.
Oh, dude, we all have. It's been that's one of the things that I was so excited when you said you were coming to Dallas, because I love meeting internet friends. It's one of the coolest things in the world. I think that's one reason I fell in love with going to events like PAX and things like that. It's not just the being able to kind of work in a different environment away in a different city and do something cool. It's meeting internet friends. It's the best thing in the world.
For me, I'm the sort of person, when I go to stuff, I don't go out of my way to talk to people.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, something about, going overseas for the first time, going to the US for the first time, and,
talk
to a whole bunch of people, so I was just like, in there, talking to people, making sure,
Yeah, of course,
my buddy Mental Mars gets around.
Oh, boy. So cool. Yeah, he is the coolest.
Yeah, so
Yeah, it looked like the reveal went really well. Mm. Everybody had a good time.
Yeah, lots of fun.
I was really happy for everybody. That it seemed to go, you know, I watched the streams and everything. It seemed to go off without a hitch. It looked awesome. It looked amazing. But that's not surprising.
Yeah, that's a win.
So how did you get started in everything anyway? Because like we were DMing last night on Twitter, I love that we're kind of doing this, recording this, because we've never gotten a chance to actually sit down and get to know each other because you live in Australia, mm-hmm. you know? So tell me origin story.
So, how far back?
Like all the way back. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to go that far back. I don't know, as relevant, you know, as far back as relevant, you know.
All right, well...
Whatever you consider your origin story to be.
Well, for me, I always wanted to get into games, and I was that little, you know, aspiring person when mm-hmm. I was younger where, like, you know, you had this one company in mind, and all you wanted to do was go work there. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was Rare.
Yeah, okay.
Because I was just all over those games, and I think it was during high school, I think.
Yeah.
There was a bit of change in the way that company was managed, and the particular types of games that they were making changed. And like, I was like all for 3D platformers. Like that was like the type of games I wanted to make. That, mm-hmm. you know, I wanted games with googly-eyed characters that talk gibberish. That was what I wanted to
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
And it kind of crushed me, you know, mm-hmm. because I'd put all the eggs in that one basket.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the company that I wanted to go work for wasn't quite the same. I mean,
right.
They're sort of coming back now with their Sea of Thieves and stuff, but
yeah.
For a long time they've been doing a lot of other games. Mm-hmm. So and yeah, so that sort of messed me up as far as the whole I want to go do game dev stuff went, because
yeah.
It sort of, you know, like I live pretty remote, so like in Darwin, Australia, so like there's no gaming courses or anything like that at uni, and like,
yeah.
like whenever I did studies, I always tried to make everything a game, you know, like every project a game,
mm-hmm.
and so you sort of go off and, you know, do more IT sort of based classes, so like web development and some other programming,
mm-hmm.
and I was really upset because shooters to me sort of felt like that they had killed off all the game genres that I really liked.
Yeah.
So I was just like against all shooters, like and like I had only heard all the bad bits, you know, like yeah. how people teabag you and stuff like that. And
I'm just laughing knowing like where you ended up, and you're like, it's a funny kind of pathway.
The thing was is that I obviously went through a few years where I basically had boycotted a big chunk of possible games I could have played.
Yeah.
And so at one point I started watching the E3 streams, and yeah. I was just like, hey, this Borderlands looks really cool.
Yeah.
You know, and so I went and picked up the first one, which I think was at the Game of the Year mm-hmm. stage,
mm-hmm.
and played that, and then played the crap out of Borderlands 2. I think by the end I had over 2,000 hours clocked in.
I know, right?
And,
me and you both. I just started another playthrough of Game of the Year edition. Like, it's pathetic.
it basically sort of proved to me that shooters could be more than just like Call of Duty, where
yeah.
it's very PvP based and
yeah.
all about killing each other and realism and all that sort of stuff, whereas Borderlands is like completely not that at all.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, from there it was Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny is sort of a game which sort of, it showed me that an online experience, because I hadn't done any WoW, any of those PC games.
Yeah, same here.
We didn't have the you know, budget to have expensive PC
yeah.
games as kids. So,
same.
Yeah, seeing that was just like, wow, this, like, because I managed to have proper raid experiences.
Yeah.
And like doing a raid with a team that know what they're doing is probably like the best online experience.
It is 100%, 100%. Could not agree with you more. And we've taken the same path. So like, I was also like huge Borderlands fan, and then Destiny. Borderlands was kind of the gateway drug into Destiny, so to speak. And
yeah,
then yeah,
you were checking in the other loot shooter because
yeah, you're like, there's no Borderlands right now. Oh, and I heard one person compare it to Borderlands because there were loot drops, and I was like, I'll play this game.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah. Because the one that I remember hearing, maybe it was like a GameStop thing. It's Borderlands loot. But the loot drops don't suck. It just funny because in the reverse it's the other way around now. Because it depends. One of the things I always struggled with was with the drops is that it wasn't clear to me looking at a drop, like picking it up off the ground. Is this a good drop or a bad drop?
Yeah.
You know? Because there's so many variables involved for the ball.
It's not until you open it up in Destiny where you can actually look at everything where you see,
Well, Destiny, it's a bit simpler compared to Borderlands where there's like all these parts. Destiny, it's just, there's a very finite amount of stuff.
Right.
So,
it's either got good perks or it doesn't. There's no...
Yeah.
There's nothing the parts of the gun, so to speak, are going to really do to help or hurt that one or the other.
Yeah, and then I think somewhere between Destiny 1 and Destiny 2, there was Battle Wars that sort of came in. So, I was in a very sort of bad place, and I was playing a lot of Destiny because it was sort of like my outlet to sort of get away from reality because I just wasn't having a good run at the
good time.
I was feeling the limits of being living in Darwin, like away from everything, and I'd started going to conference and stuff, but it's really expensive to go anywhere from Darwin. Like even down south, it's like, you know, several thousand dollars to just to cover like plane and accommodation for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm trying to like find myself, and I'm burning through all my money to do it. But you know, Battleborn came. I wasn't super pumped from like the beta.
Yeah.
Like I managed to get like a really bad get caught in some geometry bugs or something. But like I still bought the game because like I was like, it's Gearbox, I played a ton of Borderlands, I'm gonna pick this up.
Yeah.
And then when I got the game, loaded it up, and then that opening cutscene happened, I was just like, whoa, this is really cool.
Totally.
You know, and so I played a bit of that, but then I was having the same issue with Borderlands, where I was looking at these weapons and I just didn't understand whether what I had was a good drop or a bad drop.
Yeah.
You know, like was it like high quality or not?
Yeah.
And I also didn't quite understand all the stats either. So what do I do? As someone who spent a lot of time, you know, like digging in the game files just for fun. I went and got myself a PC copy because I was on PS4.
Yeah.
And then just started pulling all the stuff out of the game, trying to figure out like what is all this stuff that I don't understand.
Yeah.
Nice. And so like I built myself up an infographic, and for one reason or another I decided to post it on the forums.
Yeah.
People loved it.
You're like, oh okay.
Yeah, it's like, oh well,
that's cool.
People find this useful. It's awesome. I mean it was just like a picture. There was no website, nothing like this. It was a picture that I did build with, like I built a web page and then took a screenshot and then posted it online.
Yeah.
And after all, that sort of then became a website, and then lots and lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of Battle Bonds.
I've used your website to great effect, trying to find those goddamn Mars things. I forget what they're called, but on, you know, the war mine stuff. So yeah, thank you for that. It was very helpful.
Yeah, the thing with the Destiny stuff was that I'd already been involved in that community, but I wasn't like one of the front people, like Dim, because I was doing like documentation on the APIs, because up until Destiny 2, it was unofficially supported, so like they'll find us using them, but there was no official...
Yeah, I remember that. It wasn't a thing they really pushed, like, oh hey, use the API. It was, the API's there, and they're not, you know,
and not
killing anybody over it, but it's not a thing they're pushing necessarily.
Yeah, so I think it was like... this first DLC, the Dark Below of Destiny 1, I discovered that you can move items between characters. Like, a few people did it at the same time, so we're all sort of like, it's like a race to see who can get
actionable first.
And that was just like mind blowing that you could move items in your from like a web page.
Yeah.
And the game actually updates in real time, you know? And
it's crazy.
I was already quite impressed that they had like a mobile app that you could actually like inspect your 3D character. I was like, whoa, this is so cool, you know? Someone had already sort of done like the groundwork for pulling like basically data mining the website files to get like the APIs. But they sort of disappeared because Destiny sort of had like an up and down popularity thing,
right?
And but I was still very much playing it because it was sort of like, you know, I'm holding on to this because I want to, it was my everything.
Yeah.
So so I built like a script that basically converted the exported things into proper documentation that other people could use.
Yeah.
And so that was me for like the first couple of years. And then because of Battleborn and because people were really into it, I was like, well, I'm gonna do something, you know.
Yeah.
Do something big on the Destiny side, you know. And yeah, that was the maps. But
that's super cool.
A thing that a lot of people seem to forget is that they're only possible because B-Thorn, who's the API engineer, I think he's got a bunch of stuff, but like we mostly know him as the guy who runs the APIs. Mm-hmm. He does so much for us. You know, like he mm-hmm. helps us. Helps makes what we want to try and do with the APIs happen. And so when the Mars DLC came out, they were obviously working towards Forsaken, so they were obviously under the pump.
Yeah,
on that.
Right.
But he had managed to find a way to basically add support, so that way you could it was basically like a checklist using IDs.
Yeah.
So that way you could basically check against your profile data and know which ones, because particularly the Mars stuff, the mm-hmm. only way of tracking it in game was a counter on yeah. an emblem. So there was no way of knowing which ones you had.
Mm.
And yeah, he managed to go like deep dive into the into the code and then hooked it up into the APIs, and then I obviously like not collected anything, so that way I could actually, because you have to basically go through them, because there's no reference to where this ID is. You have to go through and manually check them. But
that's so crazy.
I'd already set up like a manual one, like a manual map where you could check them off.
Yeah.
And so all I had to do was basically just go to each one and just compare them and just add an ID.
Yeah.
So it was, I got it done very quickly, and then you know, working maps that would actually sync. So
it blows my mind, dude. Because I'm not. I don't know anything about that kind of stuff, you know? And knowing so many people, you know, friends and whatnot in the industry that do, the things that I don't know about consistently blow my mind. And that's one of the biggest things, is just how people can, you know, dig around in code and find, you know, find certain things. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think your background really brings up a good point that I see a lot of people, you know, when they want to get in the games industry, and they sort of think that either it's kind of like either I'm in it or I'm not, you know. But the truth is, like, your story is kind of perfect in the sense that you were out in the middle of nowhere Australia, and you still found something you're good at and do it right.
Hmm. And the beauty with
I think
the
that's the biggest thing.
You can just keep,
yeah.
You can. I mean, it's the funny thing is, like, I actually got to talk to a lot of the Australian streamers
yeah.
that actually went to the event, and for most of them, their audience is not Australia.
No, yeah,
it's overseas.
100%. 100%. And that's the thing. Like I told somebody on Twitter not that long ago. They said, you know, how do I get into the game industry? And I'm like, well, what do you do? You know, what do you mean? Well, do you build levels? Do you, you know, well, what do you do? And they're like, oh, well, I don't know. It's kind of like, well, you find something you're good at, find something you enjoy, and then just start doing it. You know, if it's level building, things like that, draw levels on graph paper, you know, download Unity, which is free, and start building levels or whatever. I guess you can build levels in Unity. I don't know. See, I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about that part of it. But the point stands, right? It's just, like, for me, I wanted to do community, so I started a podcast, and I started building a community, you know? You just start doing whatever you want to do for free, and then eventually, you know, when the opportunity comes, you try to seize it, and hopefully whoever that opportunity is with will notice, oh, this guy or gal has been doing it already, so let's talk to them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, transport just disappeared from me.
Just derailed?
Yeah.
That happens to me all too often.
I looked at the light and I just like, whited out like a moth or something. Yeah, I mean, what was I saying? Just give me a minute. I'll figure out what I was going to say.
It'll come to you, I'm sure.
It'll come to me. I mean,
I really do, though. I think it's a testament to the one thing that I always see in people that I know that are doing things like you, where you're, you know,
you just find a thing that you're good at, and you know a lot of the times they just fall into it, you know. And the thing that I always see with them is that once they fall into it, they recognize on some level, I think, that they've fallen into something cool, and they just start busting their ass, you know. And that's, and you've clearly done both of those things. And
it's not easy. One of the most favorite things I ever had was I was redeeming some I think it was like a Whiskey Fox Trot Gold Skin.
Yeah.
And I was having issues redeeming it because it was that one-off where they did like two skins in the same shift code and
yeah.
It was funky.
Oh, I remember that.
So I did a support request, right, to the Zendesk, and yeah. The person replying is like, "Wait, are you Lowline?" He's like, "Yeah." And I got like this really wonderful personal message from them, you know, and it just like...
It's Dara, probably.
Yeah, it just filled me so much. I mean...
It's nice, yeah. It's like
I wish I'd actually found them and thanked them in person. Yeah. But like that's like probably 2 years ago. Yeah. And
just little things like that happen that really help you out along the way. You know, like when I was trying to get in with Gearbox, I mean I've told this story about 1,000 times, but I love it so much I'll keep telling it. So, you know, I don't care. But you know, I basically made you've seen it, I think, but I made a Borderlands loot chest out of just like wooden box craft supplies from the craft store, and I did my resume in Photoshop with blood splatter and stuff like that, and then I sent it to Gearbox. And this was when they weren't in this building, they were in their old office over in Plano, so about, you know, 30 minutes away from here. And I just sent it in, and the receptionist said, you know, I called to just make sure that it arrived okay, you know, and the receptionist answered the phone, and I was like, "Hey, you know, my name is Joe King. I sent you guys a loot chest resume. I'm not trying to bug anybody or talk to anybody. I just wanted to make sure it arrived okay. I just want to make sure the box got there. It's in one piece. Everything is good." And her response was, "Oh, that was you?" And I was like, "Yeah, that was me." And she's like, "That was really cool." And I was like, "Oh, wow, thanks." Kind of the same moment, I think, where you're like, okay, what I'm doing is working. Like, this is working, you know? All right, weird. It's funny how that sort of stuff works out.
Yeah. But it's still the thing of being remote, so...
Yeah.
And all the way over in Australia, it still limits you. Like, in Australia... The industry is pretty much all indie, because when the global financial crash happened, all the big AAA companies are left, and like, it's like, as far as I... Like, it's in my brain, I might not be right or not, but... Sequel, I think, was like the last AAA game.
2K Australia,
made in Australia. Mm. So, like the last, like one of the, at least one of the last big ones. Yeah. So, and since then, like, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that lost their jobs.
Yeah.
And they basically had to like scramble and rebuild the industry down there. And
it's crazy. It's so crazy.
And I mean, I've been trying to sort of find my way.
Yeah.
In there, but it's still, you know, it's. It, like, it's very hard being remote. Like I'm even remote in my own country.
Yeah, I know, definitely. It's like the internet is an incalculable advantage, right? But it still doesn't fix every you know, issue. You know, it still doesn't help to be, you know, that remote.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, the internet changes everything, though, right? Mm. Like. There's so many people doing so many things right now. It feels even stupid to say this because it's so obvious these days, but without the internet, just, you know, what would we all be doing? You know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy.
I mean, the thing I love is, going back to that rare story.
Yeah.
I'm now following the folks that made some of my favorite games from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know? And it's the most, like, when I first did it, it's like, I'm following them, you know,
yeah.
Like I'm like this big geek, you know, but it's like, it's, you know, they're just people, you know.
Yeah, they are. They're absolutely 100%. Just,
and they still have the same passion. And
they
all
have
that,
the same passion. And then on the flip side of that coin, they have the same stresses and anxiety, you know, like you see a lot of the, like you get it obviously, but people see, you know, your average, I'm using my quote fingers here, gamer sees the, you know, the big reveals and the events and the panels, but they don't see the work that goes in behind the scenes, and they don't see the, you know, it's hard to get a sense, like when you're not around that every day, it's hard to get a sense of how intense that is, you know.
Yeah. And they also put people up on pedestals. Like,
yeah, 100%.
It's like, it's all about encountering a dev while playing the game. Like, you know, making the noise.
A little bit.
Interlude.
Elevator
music.
Yeah, I know. I need to find some fun interlude. Someone's moving tables across the coffee shop. Music, and I think we're almost there. We can't be mad about it though, because for you guys listening, it looks like there's a very intense game of D&D that's about to happen here. So, you know, you can't be upset with them about it. It looks pretty serious. Yeah. But I think hopefully we're good now. Let's see. We're getting there. Anyway, no, I think you're right. I think people, you bring up a good point about putting people, in this case, developers. We're going to get there. On a pedestal, right? And that, I think, yeah, that's completely true. It's a weird thing that pervades all kinds of different industries.
You're going to have this podcast
mastered. It's so good.
By level 3.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, it'll... well, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, I recently... I've been working on the idea of this podcast now for a couple of years. Mm. And that's honestly not something that I'm insanely proud about, because what it means is I have put it off for a couple of years, right? I've had this, what I feel like is a really good idea, and, you know, I'm not trying to change the world or anything here, it's just for fun. So it's kind of like, why have I been putting so much pressure on myself? I was putting so much pressure on myself to get the audio sounding perfect, and to get, you know, the format right, and all these kinds of things, when I realized a while back that this, you and I are having coffee in a coffee shop with the phone on the table, like, that's what it's about, you know, it's just about the conversation. So I don't want to put too much pressure on the stuff that doesn't really matter. So, you know, honestly, eventually it's going to, and probably sooner than later, it'll evolve and it'll start sounding better. But honestly, right now, I'm just not that worried about it. I'm more concerned with just having good conversations with friends, and just sort of seeing if people get anything out of that. You know, that's kind of my biggest goal.
I've got a mate. I've always been a fan of, he's from Tasmania, mm-hmm. John Manning. He's actually done some work on Night in the Woods. Mm-hmm. He built a thing called Yarn Spinner, which mm-hmm. they use for their dialogue trees. It's really, really cool.
Nice.
And it's like currently he's working on making the game playable on iPads by writing this really cool compressor. He does some really cool things.
That's cool.
He told me once that... he does these really cool things, like, you know, at a conference he does, hey, let's build a game in like an hour.
Yeah.
And he does it.
Yeah.
You know, he just does it. And one of the like the points that he always says is, don't hold your baby, like keep your babies in, like get them working, get yeah. them functional, and then put them out there so you 100%. Can start that feedback loop.
Absolutely. It's so much more important than, you know, there's that saying that, I forget how it goes, but it's like, perfection is the enemy of something. I forget what the saying is, but the point of it is that you hold off on doing a good thing that can benefit, you know, in this case, I feel like can benefit a lot of people. And, you know, I'm holding off on it for no good reason. The only reason is because on some level I felt like I needed to try to achieve perfection with it, which is just the stupidest fucking thing in the world, right? So yeah, I quickly realized, I was sort of like, all right, you know what? We're just gonna do this. I don't care about, you know, the audio quality starting off. I already had in the can two great conversations with friends in the industry that are just awesome. So we're gonna just go ahead and push those out, and then, you know, eventually I'll naturally want to evolve the quality, and I'll sort of get sick of, oh, you know, I'm tired of this sounding crappy, let's improve, let's start, you know, doing something different. I've already got plans to do that, but I think the most important thing is to just start, you know. That's super, super important.
It really, really is.
Yeah, get something out there, just start. And then, you know, it's like everybody says, you got to start somewhere, right? So just start, and then you can make improvements from there. And the cool thing about that to me is then you can see, you know, down the road how much things have grown and improved, and that's fun, right? It's not really necessary, I don't think, to look back later and say, oh, the first episode sounded exactly like the 100th episode. What consistency? I mean, you know, I just don't think that needs to be a huge priority, at least in my case. I think starting is a lot more important. But yeah, and I mean, I think you can say that about this kind of subject matter. It's a perfect analogy. You know, it's like, if you want to do something in the industry, start doing it. Just start. You know, like we said earlier, just start doing it.
And it's like what I've been trying to do with some of the folks from the Battle World community is, I'm saying it's the second time this year, but you have the Global Game Jam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was trying to get a bunch of them together and let's just make something, you know?
Yeah, like, that'd be super cool.
You know, like I knew artists, I knew audio folks from the community. And I mean, I was the only programmer I knew. Programmers seem to be very hard to come by in our fan communities. But so it's like get everyone together, spend a weekend across like 4 or 5 different time zones, which is fun.
Yeah, very fun.
Especially with the Australians. Australians are always the biggest one at fault. So they're the ones that should, you know, get up late because everyone else is like, hey, we've got more or less the same time zones.
Yeah.
But and so it's like last year we made a game, and I actually reused a bit of the models. Like I had exported a whole bunch of Battle Born models, because I was taking really cool high-res screenshots now. So I made like a very basic like character animation by just basically recording sprites and that. And that was like my demo thingo until the artist had done actual art for it.
Yeah.
The only problem was that we had obviously come up with a game that was a bit too big a scope for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So this year around, I try to get as many of the same folks back together again. We took a very different approach. Mm-hmm. So straight off the bat, it's you know, like trying to define a game that is a lot simpler and that we can achieve.
Yeah.
And then create a task list of everything. You know, like just get into that documentation.
Mm-hmm.
And also teaching people how to use things like source control.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are all skills that you will use if you were to ever work at a place. It might be a different source control, you know, it might not be awesome GitHub, but learning to basically keep track of stuff and you know, manage, you know, and it's like, we were hoping to have someone who'd be willing to do the producer role, but I think I kind of ended up doing the producer role as well. So, you really do appreciate having a producer.
You do. You really, really do.
Yeah, when you kind of manage.
Once it falls in your lap and you're like, okay, yeah. Then you realize it's like when you realize you don't have a producer, then that's when you stop taking the producer for granted. Isn't that right, producer friends listening to this? Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, another good point that you kind of make me think of is transferable skills, right? And there's tons of those. I think that people forget sometimes that they probably already know a lot about how to operate in a game job or game, you know, position, just based on things they already know from other jobs. You know, like you said, keep up with stuff. Like, that's what a producer does, right? Schedules and things like that. There you go.
They don't even really do coding.
No.
It's mostly about managing.
Yeah. I think that's a thing. I think a lot of people get intimidated by the idea of, like, what's the most complicated, outlandish thing that's possible in the game industry? Well, I can't do that, so I guess I can't work in games. But the truth is, there's tons of stuff between that and you, you know, that you undoubtedly could do, you know?
It's like if you just do art,
there
are actually ways that you can actually make a game without needing to do any coding at all.
I mean, 100%.
Unity now, it actually can be done with just pure hooking up nodes and stuff.
Yeah. You know? It's so easy.
And it's free. I mean, I think you just got to sort of, you know, say, you know, I am not going to make any money off of this game I'm making, because it's obviously making it fun. So, and I think even Unreal does it now too.
Yeah, you can actually Unreal does have a free version.
Yeah, just download it and then mess with it. I mean, it's not so great if you want to do like 3D modeling, because I think a lot of the big programs don't have a free option.
Yeah.
But there's also Blender, which I've heard has gotten a lot better in terms of the controls. Like they've really, I suppose, conformed a bit more with how other editors work. So.
Yeah.
But again, you don't have to make an amazing, you know, open world 3D game with you know, like 100 hours.
Just start really, really small, really simple, and go from there.
Well, I was in Tasmania for a conference, so I was, you know, trying to tell. I'm constantly trying to tell people about the Destiny APIs and how awesome they are. It's very hard to get talk spots when it's like, as a friend says, it's so sort of out there. The closest thing to it is game modding.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, it's not game modding at all.
No. But
there's just no other way to sort of describe it to someone. So, I've been trying to tell people. But yeah, I was down in Tasmania and I managed to catch their global game jam that they were doing. Mm-hmm. So it's like a local one. And I was with a team. We were making a game, which is like a combination of little smaller games. And I was just like, well, I'm just gonna make something really quick on the side, you know. And it was just like a quick web. I think it was a text adventure, you know.
Yeah.
And just using real crap graphics because I didn't care. I was just wanting to like make a little narrative. And then I got to sit in front of a bunch of people and walk them through. It's all like, you know, like when you was a kid. And you go to the library and the librarian would then read the book to you.
Yeah.
If that was something you'd do. I don't know if it's Australian or not, but
story time or whatever.
Yeah, story time. Yeah, sure. But I'm doing it through this game, you know. And it's like, it was a silly little game because it's my first time in Tasmania.
Yeah.
And I wanted to sort of tell a story about how awesome it was. And the idea was that the rest of the world was in the apocalypse. Because I think there was a theme, you know, about like something, but and Tasmania was like the last, like, you know, the last city or something. And you had all these people that had just come off, you know, had come off the boat and then wanted to get into the last city. And you were the guard that had to then ask some questions to confirm that, you know, they were good people and that they weren't actual trash people.
Yeah. You're the judger of people, right?
And they were just like stick figures, and I'd got like some celebrity's head put on each of them.
Yeah.
You know? So a couple of very obvious ones, like this one's clearly a bad person, but
that's so good.
Yeah. And people enjoyed it. It was a fun little experience, and like I don't have to go and make that into a real game. That's just making something, and it fit the thing. And
it's like a sketch of a game, you know, to compare it to like art. And it's just a sketch.
In the indie space, they're doing some really cool stuff too. Like there was this festival. That's as a festival down in Melbourne during GDC, which is called Delete GDC.
Mm-hmm.
And what that was is that folks make a game that is showcased for that one evening, and at the end of it, they then delete all the files.
Wow. It's like an Instagram story.
Yeah, and it could be as fancy, like you know, it could be like, you know, like where, you know, where they smash the guitar player on the stage sort of thing.
Oh man!
Or it could be something as simple as deleting, but it was, and you weren't required to delete it as well.
Yeah.
But it was just, that was the idea. Is that
there's this inherent expectation that you probably will, though, right?
Yeah. You build this game, you know, you show it off, and then you just get rid of it. You know, like it's a completely different way to make a game, and you know, like it's. Big change to like a game
that's cool,
been worked on for like 5 years, it's that whole where, you know, games are not just like a thing, you know, people pay $60 for and play. They can
do
all sorts of things and different experiences.
Absolutely.
And you don't need like amazing skills to do these things.
Yeah.
You just need to have an idea and, you know, work it.
Yeah, 100%. It's that easy. Well, that might be a good note to end it on right there. Just do it. So why don't you just do it and plug anything you want to plug right now?
Me?
Yeah. Where can people find you?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
The
Lowlines. Is this Lowlines?
I think it is.
Are you Lowlines?
I mean, I was sneaky and made sure that all my accounts had Lowlines, so pretty much anywhere you go to find me as Lowlines.
Google Lowlines.
Except Reddit, because there's a guy on Reddit who's called Lowlines, and he does like music It's not me.
Do not listen to the low lines on Reddit. Anything he says is not really Richard.
So I'm Lily Dev on Reddit, and so it matches my website.
Yeah, cool.
Unlike Mental Mars, who's really awesome.
Mental Mars.
Again. My whole branding is like all over the place. So it's like, you know, some people know me as Low Lines, others as Lily Dev. And
I think Mars lately, though, the past, you know, couple years has been, I feel like he's trying to rebrand as Mental Marmot, you know? I think maybe he's very subtly, maybe that's where he's headed. So I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Just send a herd of Mental Marmots after you. I mean, you know, that's the thing, when you become part of a game, you just gotta,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. But, you gotta own it, man. You gotta own it. Yeah. All right, well, thanks for doing this, dude. It's been fun, and have a good trip back to Australia.
I'm going to Bungie first.
Have fun at Bungie. You really are gonna like Bungie. It's gonna be good. Yeah. All right. I'm hitting stop now. Everybody say bye to Low Lines. See ya.